Several places you can turn today, but our main scripture is going to be in the book of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. When you find your place, say, I have it. If I were to ask you a question today, and I want everyone to answer with clarity. Be sure about your answer. Here's the question. Are you ready? And I know with a lot of church people here today, this is something I think you'll get. What is covering your sin? What is covering your sin? Everybody all at one time, tell me your answer. What's covering your sin? I hear the blood of Jesus, right? Is that the answer from everybody? What is covering your sin? Tell me again. And that's a good answer. And in most cases, that answer is going to work. And if I told you today that I feel that there's probably a lot of us here that if truthfully we answer that question, the answer wouldn't be the blood of Jesus, then you might just say, hold on a second, preacher. I know, and I've been in church my whole life, and I know the only thing that can cover sin is the blood of Jesus. I'm going to tell you that the blood of Jesus is not the only thing that covers sin. I see a lot of eyebrows raised. That's good, because you're intrigued. Does that make you want to listen to the rest? In the book of Proverbs, there was a statement that was made to us in Proverbs 28:13. Just listen to this statement. You can write it on your notes, but listen to this. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Today, as we look through God's Word, I want us to be able to answer this question, what is covering your sin? Now, I want to ask you not to worry about my sin. I'm preaching to you. I'm not going to worry about your sin. I'm asking you to ask yourself, what is covering your sin? So you would be saying, what is covering my sin? So you answered a minute ago. What was the answer? And I want us to see today that that's not always the case. Now, if we go to Him and we confess our sin to Him, we know that the blood of Jesus does cover it. But I don't think that we realize how important it is, and this subject is, to realize that there's a lot of people that left a lot of sin uncovered. Now, you have the capability to have it covered by the blood of Jesus, but do you know that unconfessed sin is not covered by the blood of Jesus? Instead, we have a variety of things that we cover our sin with. Oh me, right? Today, as we look in God's Word in the book of Joshua, we're going to see the example of a man that covered his sins, and he didn't cover it in the blood. And understand that this is a problem that we've had since the beginning of mankind. We read in the book of Genesis, and I'll read you this just as a little teaser, because this sort of lets us know how we were from the beginning. You realize in the beginning that, you know the story, Adam and Eve took of the fruit, right? And when they took of the fruit, they sinned. Amen? Do you know the story? If you do, say amen. Amen. Listen, here's what happened. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why'd they sew fig leaves together? They wanted to hide their nakedness, right? Listen to the next verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What is man's natural response? To hide. What's a child's natural response? To hide. What's our natural response? There's a thing inside of us that makes us want to hide. Now, I want to start by just telling you a story that I began to dwell on the other day, and I couldn't get it off my mind. It began to be, as I was studying, so applicable. There's some funny parts in it, but I don't want you to lose the focus of the story. When I was a boy, we had different animals. We grew up on a farm, and we had cows, and we had chickens, and chickens are always amazing. I love to watch chickens, and we spent a lot of time with chickens, right? But of one of three boys, we also had BB guns. Now, as you know, a BB gun will get a young man in trouble because you just like to shoot, even if it's to hear what it hits and hear the sound. Can I get a witness? Anybody else out there? Now, when you put the BB guns and the chickens together, here's where the story comes together. I realized at a young age when I started shooting a BB gun that you could actually shoot a chicken, and all it would make the chicken do was just ruffle its feathers and run off, and it was fun, and we laughed, right? And so it was not an uncommon thing for us to be shooting our chickens. You couldn't kill them with the BB gun, but you could rustle them up. Now, don't think bad of me now, okay? I don't need the animal rights groups. We were shooting chickens. One day, as I shot the chicken dropped dead right when I shot the chicken. Evidently, the bullet floated, hit the chicken in the head. The chicken was dead. No chicken jumped up. I mean, it wasn't anything. It became real at that time because my dad knew all the chickens, and, you know, we got eggs from the chickens, and he knew all the chickens. So the first thing that I thought of was what? Hide the chicken. Hide the evidence, right? I dug a hole in our garden and buried the chicken. And I want to tell you, from the moment my dad reached the backyard that evening as we were walking, he immediately looked over and saw that there was one place in the garden where the dirt was rustled up, and he asked me, "What happened to that spot?" And I had to fall down and say, "You're never going to believe it. It's the worst thing in the world. You're never going to believe what happened." You've been there before, right? I shot the chicken and it just dropped dead and, okay. Well, I think he knew that he was going to hear some things like that raising three boys. But that wasn't what I got punished for. I got punished for burying the chicken. I got punished for hiding what I did, because if I would have told him what I did, well, I would have got some kind of punishment. But I wouldn't have got the punishment that I got because our backyard had maple trees in it. I don't need to tell you the rest of the story, do I? I did the dancing circle out there right by that. Why? Because I hid it. Today, I want to talk to you about a story in the book of Joshua about a man named Achan. Say his name with me. Achan. You should remember, it's not acorn, it's Achan. Say Achan with me.
Achan.
You've said it before. Your back's been aching. Your arm's been aching. What's his name?
Achan.
His name's Achan. Joshua. As you begin to read chapter 7, you're going to hear a story about Achan, but let me give you a little background to this story. Understand that Moses had passed away, and we read about that last week, remember? As they knew they had to take the written word, and they had to be able to teach it in their homes and put it on their doorposts, and how important the written word was. But as they crossed over the Jordan to go into the promised land, Joshua was leading these people, and they came upon a city, the first city that they were able to see. And it had big fortified walls. Remember, that's the reason they were afraid to go over into the promised land. This city, and the name of this city was what? Jericho. As they went into Jericho, which was in the land of Canaan, they realized, hey, this is our first obstacle. And God told them this. He said, listen, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be able to assemble all of the people, Joshua, millions of people. And you're going to be able to take the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God. You're going to put it before all the people. And you're going to march around this city. And as you march around this city, you're going to blow a trumpet. And you're going to do this for 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, now you're not going to say one single word. There's going to be a time of reverence as you walk around. And after the seventh day, when you blow the trumpet and you shout, the walls of Jericho are going to what? And some people want to say, come tumbling down. We know the song, right? But God gave them rules in the middle of this. God told them when this happens. Now, you had to believe in God strongly to believe that, hey, we're not going to tear down these walls. God's going to let them fall, right? But what's inside of these walls is evil. These people don't believe in God. These people worship idols. These people sacrifice to false gods. These people have nothing to do with me. So I don't want you to take anything that's inside of Jericho and keep it for yourself because it's cursed. That's what I'm telling you. Listen to me. I'm going to win your battle for you. It's just that I don't want you to take anything inside of there. Listen to the book of Joshua in chapter 6. I just want to read you some of the instructions. Listen to verses 16 through 19. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout. Say that word with me.
Shout.
Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, and the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now listen to this instruction that's given. We don't talk about this much. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold, all the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So let me summarize this for you. He said, when the walls fall, you're going to have an opportunity to go in and pillage this whole place of Jericho. They were under Babylonian rule and had all kind of expensive things in there. It would have been really tempting once the walls fell to be able to walk in and just get what they wanted. And God said, listen, it's cursed. This is what I'm telling you. It's wrong to go in and get it. Don't take anything. Don't take anything. Any silver, gold, or brass, you take that into the treasuries of the temple. You don't take anything for yourself. And as we begin to read in Joshua chapter 7, we only have to read the first verse. Listen to what it says. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, say his name with me.
Achan.
The son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan messed up, didn't he? He took something. But who knew that Achan took something? God knew that Achan took something. So sin is sin. You might be right now saying, well, at least he's talking about stealing, and I don't steal. We're not talking about stealing. We're talking about sin. Achan sinned. Now, if you continue to read verses 1 through 12, you're going to realize that something unique happened. Now, understand, this group of people had seen God split the Red Sea, but of recent, he had seen them be able to defeat any of the opposition that came up against him. They had been in battles and wars. These people had won. Now, you're pretty confident when you march around the city walls and the walls fall down, right? You even get a little spiritually cocky, don't you? Hey, look what we can do. So they came upon the next opposition, and it was in a place called Ai. We'll just call it Ai. That's the way it's spelled. It'll be in your Bible. Now, as they came to Ai, which some people pronounce I, but we'll say Ai, it was a city, and they sent a couple of scouts up on the hill, and the scouts looked over, and they said, hey, this is child's play. We don't need near. Keep everybody at home. Send me a couple of just regular people. We'll go in. Look at Jericho. We don't need all of our forces here. Lay back. There's no need to labor with this. We've got it. Joshua, just send us several people. We'll come up. And so Joshua sent them several legions up there, and they went against the city. Just nothing to it. They were going to go in and take it over. Guess what? The several men in Ai chased these Israelites with their tail between their legs. And they realized they'd been defeated. And Joshua fell on his face before God, and he said, God, what has happened? Our name is going to go out through all of Canaan, and they're going to know that we can't even stand against this. And what about your name, God? And do you realize what happened? And Joshua was just crying and crying, and God said, Joshua, get up. There's a lesson here. You have to realize the reason y'all fell against Ai, the reason you didn't prosper, is because there's sin among you. There's unconfessed sin among you. And we pick up the story in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 7. I want you to listen to what we hear. Verse 13. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, I started in 11, sorry. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing among you. So listen to God's order. You had my protection. You had me, my favor, you had my prosperity, but now you've sinned, you don't have it. Verse 13, up, important verse, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Hey, say that phrase with me. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. One more time. Listen, this is important. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take it away, the accursed thing from among you. This is important. You see, God told Joshua what must be done. And it says, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. What does this mean? This is key. You see, this was the time of confession. When Joshua told the people, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, understand that Achan had a chance right then to be able to say, hey, listen, I know it's me. I've done this. That time that he had was today. He said, sanctify thyself against tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, tomorrow, God is going to call every person into account. And they're all going to stand in front of Joshua at the judgment seat and give an account. And what they had was today to confess, because tomorrow, well, it's not going to be any good. If you're told what you did, you have a chance to tell the one at the judgment seat what you did. Now, do you get where this is going? Understand that Achan had all of that day. When he said, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, Achan knew exactly what he had done that day. And he knew that tomorrow all the assembly was going to come. Now this time of confession, this was the time that the guilty could confess. Now, we're going to make this. Let me take that back. We're not going to make it do anything. God's going to let you see how this applies to us, because I want you to see before the story starts. Every one of us is going to have our time to stand in front of God. Do you believe that? And he says, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Now, I can honestly tell you that the time that you're given to confess to God is today, not tomorrow. Who knows who in this room will stand in front of God at 1 o'clock today? I don't. Do you? You see, God already knew what he had done. Do you believe that God knew Achan's sin at this time? Absolutely. Number two, he had given them a warning by letting them see that he was not going to be with them to protect them if they had hidden sin. Remember Ai? They realized God's not with us, so this is bad. We have to do something about it. Did Achan choose to do anything about it? Did he? No. Did he? As of this time of the story, Achan has done nothing. Now, was there an opportunity to confess to God? Yes. When was that? Today. That was Achan's opportunity. Number four, I want you to notice the accursed thing. The accursed thing has been hidden. It's hidden sin. It's something that God knew, but nobody else knew. And in verses 17 through 19, what's amazing to me is if you read down through this story, you will see that Achan's specific family was brought before the judgment seat. If you read these verses, you'll notice that God uncovered the guilty party because they brought all these people. And you know, they were divided into 12 tribes, right? So they brought the 12 tribes, and then they brought the grandfather of Achan, and then the father of Achan, and then Achan. The Bible tells us that tribe by tribe, of the tribe of Judah, the family of the Zarahites, Zabdi, Achan's grandfather, Carmi, Achan's father, and then Achan. So can you imagine this? Now, picture a million people. You need to visualize this. And as they all appeared, they chose the tribe of Judah. Everybody else moved away. Then they chose the family of the Zarahites. Everybody moved away. After that, they chose the distinct family of Achan's grandfather. Everybody else moved away. Then they chose Achan's father, and everybody moved away. Then they chose Achan, and everybody moved away. Do you see that? God specifically found Achan exactly where he was. Because nothing is hidden from God. And the Bible's written so to show you that. Now when we read verse 19, Achan's caught on by now. If you've been picked out of a million, you pretty much know somebody's found you out, right? He's been carrying this around and he's nervous. The same way that I was as a child, knowing that there's something that I broke, that I hid, that I didn't let somebody know about. Something that I've done that I haven't confessed of. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? You might be there right now. When you're growing up and a kid, it might have been something your parents wouldn't see. Now it's a thought. Now it's an action. Now it's something that you've done you know you shouldn't have. It's hidden sin. And in verse 19, we read this. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Say that word with me. Make what? Confession. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Listen, hide it not from me. We go back to that thing. What's the first thing we want to do? Hide it. He told him three things. First of all, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Secondly, make confession unto him. Thirdly, hide it not. Those are three steps that I'm convinced that a lot of us don't get through like we should. There are a lot of times and years in my life that I've spent hiding things. Now, if I ask you this morning, do you think God sees everything? Of course you'll answer me, yes, he does. Do we live like God sees everything? Do we? In verses 19 through 26, it's a horrible thing that happened. You see, Achan stood in front of the judgment seat and was told to confess, and he couldn't lie. He had been singled out by God. He knew this sin. He had to confess it. His guilt was in front of him, even though it was hidden in the ground of his tent. Listen. And Achan answered Joshua, verse 20, and said, indeed, I have sinned. Great, he's confessed. Listen. I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and they brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and they laid them before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua says, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee here this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones, and burned with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Wow. You might be thinking today, especially since we all live in this politically correct world where we can't see anybody that's done anything wrong, wow, that was harsh punishment. I mean, after all, Achan confessed. Achan confessed too late. Get this. Achan confessed too late. You say, but he stood and he confessed. He confessed when he was confronted with it. Joshua said, sanctify thyself against tomorrow. Do you know that every one of us is going to have a tomorrow? And do you know that if we wait until our sin is presented in front of us, then it's unconfessed sin? I want you to see something today that I think is pretty neat. It's interesting. Achan's sin was hidden in a place in the ground inside of his own tent, right? You realize Achan had put it in there, and he said he took it, he wrapped the stuff up, and then he went and hid it. So he hid it when he did it, and then he hid it in the tent. And it's buried in a hole in the tent in the dirt. But what kind of symbolism does this draw for me? You know, immediately I began to think. You know, tent always in the Bible signifies this body. This earthly body. Why does God use the symbolism of tent for my body? Because a tent's a temporary thing, right? We talk about that a lot in funerals. As I'm preaching a funeral, I like to remind the people that this earthly tabernacle, we read 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands." Why? This earthly body is a tent, is a temporary tent. It is not made to last. How many people know that your body is not going to last 200 years? It's temporary. But here's the thing. His hidden thing was in his tent in the dirt. So if I'm taking that, and if we look at Achan's sin and compare his tent to a body, then the place inside of his tent, the place where he had something and covered it up, would be like the place inside of our tent, our body. Do you know what the place in our body is that we put things and we cover them up? You know what it is? It's our heart. It's just like that little dirt hole. It's dirty sometimes. We put it in there and we hope nobody sees it. We can honestly tell you today, God sees everything. But yet sometimes we don't acknowledge that there's sin in there that we know God sees, but we're not confessing it to Him. We're not asking Him to forgive us. We're not repenting and trying to change. So understand that when this story was given of Achan, it's not about the silver, the gold, the things he hid in there. This story is about unconfessed sin. This story is about hiding. And this story is not about Achan. This story is about us. Because Jesus continued to speak. And throughout the Bible, God continued to show us. Our heart is a hiding place. And remember, nothing's hidden from God. There are things that I'm not dare going to tell you because I don't want you to know about myself. I'm embarrassed of them. But I don't need to be embarrassed of God. He sees them anyway. I'm not going to talk about yours and you don't talk about mine, right? That's fine. But you know who we better talk to? We better talk to God. You see, I've got a couple of sources here. I want to quote some people that are good resources. The first one is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10:26, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known." There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Here we have the word covered. What did Achan do? He took his sin, he put it in his tent, and he what? Covered it. There's nothing covered. Remember what I asked you when we started here? What is covering your sins? And we all want to answer, the blood of Jesus. But there's no way in the world that God would have led me to preach this sermon if I didn't need to hear it and you didn't need to hear it. I'll guarantee you there's some sin in this room today that's covered by something that we've covered it with instead of the blood of Jesus. And it's only going to be forgiven when we uncover it. But if you choose to confess it and uncover it, when it's revealed to you and you stand in front of God, it's going to go down as unconfessed sin. But that's a little heavy, isn't it? Good morning for the heavy. God told Israel through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 16:17, listen, He said, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes." God's watching, isn't He? You say, that's Israel. Nope. Hey, Nazareth Community Church. God's eyes are on all your ways. There's nothing that's not hidden from Him. There's nothing that is hidden from Him. Hey, husband, hey, wife. Hey, mom, hey, dad. In your family, God's eyes are on your ways. There's nothing that's hidden from Him. There's nothing that's covered that will not be revealed. Hey, individual, God's eyes are on your ways. There's nothing that will be hidden from Him. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest, listen, the counsels of the heart. You know where we hide our things at? Where do we hide them? In that little dirt hole that's in our tent. What's it called? And God's able to see in the counsels of the heart. What we need to realize is that God sees everything that we think and that we're hiding, and He sees the hiding place that we hide these things in, which is our heart, no matter how good we think we have it covered. You see, it's not the ground of Achan's tent that his sin was hidden in. It was the heart of Achan's body that his sin was hidden in. You notice they didn't go to the tent and inspect it first, did they? Achan had to stand in front of the judgment seat. You see, he had an opportunity to confess his sin before God called him out, but he chose not to because he felt it was hidden. You have to think, here's a guy that knew that tomorrow the talk was out. It wasn't that it was a big secret. Israel had failed against Ai, and Joshua had been told by God, bring everybody together because somebody has done something that's wrong and cursed. Don't you know Achan was thinking in his mind, hey, I did this. He had to walk over it every day. He had to tell his family, hey, don't walk over there in that spot. But still he chose to see if he could just ride it out and not confess it. You see, what we have to take out of that is, you know, he had covered it so no one could see it. But who saw it? We're the same way. Do you know, Christian, there is no way that you can get right with God until you confess your sin to Him? When I ask you what's covering your sins, it's to be able to get you to think, because we can't cover our own sins. But we sure try to, don't we? We cover it with reasons and justifications. Oh yeah, I would worship God, or I would be here, but this happened and this happened, and we cover it, until long we've got a hole that's in our tent, that's in our heart, that's been covered up with so many things, we forget what and all we've put in there. We hate, we lie, we have anger, we complain, we tear down, we criticize, and then we cover it up. Sneaky, aren't we? Guess who we're not fooling? This heart that we hide things in is a trouble area for us. God tells us in His Word that His blessings and His cursings depend on how we manage the things that are in our heart. If we give our heart to Him and confess the sins of our heart, or if we hide the things in our heart and refuse to confess them to God. Jeremiah was telling the people in chapter 17. And if you read that, you'll find out that he's basically saying, our heart's not a good hiding place. Why? Because the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know that you don't even know your own heart? Who can know it? But then he says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God is not searching your bank account. God is not searching these tangible things that you have. God is searching every one of our heart, because that's where you hide things. Our blessings and curses, our prosperity and our trouble depends on what God sees where? In our heart. Moses warned in the book of Numbers, in a passage of Scripture that I remember hearing as a child, and I thought it was a threat. I didn't realize that it came from the Bible. I just thought it was something wise that my dad said. But Moses warned, and this warning should resonate in our minds today. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. How many people believe that? I have seen that so many times in my life. And it's caused me to live different. And I don't stand in front of you as some model Christian either. I'm a sinner. I preach to me. Sometimes it hits you, but I'm basically preaching to me. That's all I have to do is craft a sermon that preaches to me. I'm guilty of it. If it hits you, well, that's what God intended. But I have learned some things. And I can see it even learned in my children. Do you know what an awful feeling it is to know that you've hid something? Do you know what it is? And even a couple of weeks ago, I drove home. And it was after a Sunday morning service. And I don't get home until later than you do. And when I pulled in, I noticed that my youngest son was sitting on the steps that go up to my garage. And I keep my lawnmower in my garage up there. That's just a little information note. But he was sitting on the steps. And I thought, how odd that he's sitting on the steps. Now, he usually comes and greets me. But I could see the look on his face. He was ready to confess something. Before my truck started moving, he moved over there. He was waiting. Why? Because he had broken something. They always break stuff. If you have boys, you will realize every day of your life, something new is broken at your house. I've told people before, I had 3 boys and 1 girl. My boys will tell you, never did anything wrong, right? My boys broke something every day. I was convinced that they were out to tear up or destroy anything I'd ever worked for. And here's what he said. And it always starts like this. You're never going to believe what happened. I barely sit on the hood of the lawnmower and it shattered. And it did. And you know what? I wasn't happy, but I realized things happen. Now, I have went out there before to get the push lawnmower out and went to crank it. And the cord not only was broken, but had been fed back down into the lawnmower. That one was hidden. I told you that to stick in your memory. Do you see the difference? Do you know which one I was upset the most about? Do you know which one I punished the most? The one that was hidden. And that's what God's telling us. He's telling us that as you, dear child, you know that you can come to me, but when you hide it, you don't confess it. That's the issue. His blessings and His curses depend on our confession. And the heart is just not a good place to hide it. You see, Jesus even warned the Pharisees in Luke 12. He said, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." There's our word covered again. What's covering your sin? We said the blood of Jesus a minute ago, right? But I wonder, is there something out there today that hasn't been confessed that we can't really say the blood of Jesus is covering it yet? Even Christian. You see, when we do hide or try to hide our sin from God, that sin separates us from God. When we hide our sin from God, we're actually hiding the presence of God from us. Just like when Israel went to the battle of Ai. They had sinned against God through Achan. So did they get God's help? No. Did they prosper in that battle? No. Did they have trouble? Absolutely. And a lot of us Christians today are going around leading a troubling life because there's things that we're not opening our heart. We've still got it hidden there. We're not confessing it to God. Isaiah 59, I love this passage of Scripture. Verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." So when you leave here today and you say, "Well, hey, Pastor Mike told me that, hey, even if I'm a Christian, that if I've got unconfessed sin in my life, that I can't pray because God's not going to hear me." That's exactly what I told you. But I didn't really tell you, I just repeated it. Listen, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." God said that, not me. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, and why do we not confess it? because we have to embrace it. In order to confess it, you have to say, God, I'm sorry for it. And I want to change it. It's not enough just to come in here each week and recognize, hey, I know I'm doing wrong. I know I'm doing wrong. I know I'm doing wrong. You can get shown all the time like that. At some point in time, you have to embrace it and say, God, I'm struggling with this. Confessing this is my problem. Forgive me of it. I want to change it. I repent of it. Help me. Why do we not do that? Would it be a day like today when we gather in here and it comes time at the end of the service when we have an invitation and I ask you to pray and that's a great time to confess, but you think, I don't want anybody to see me confessing? How silly is that going to look when we stand in front of God at the ultimate confession and we say, but you don't understand, I was going to. How silly is it going to look when we say, well, I don't know if I can change, so I don't want to embrace it and confess it. I bet Achan wished that he would have done something different, huh? You see, God tells us that hidden sin that's hidden in our heart, number one, keeps us from fellowshipping with God. Number two, keeps us from being able to pray to God. Number three, keeps us from companionship of God. And number four, keeps us from the blessings of God. So what can we do? You might think at this point, well, what can we do? Because everyone in here must realize you're a sinner, right? I'm a sinner. So what happens? Am I separated from God? You see, all of us have sin, and sin separates us from God. But God asks us to do the same thing that He asked Achan to do. But He asks us to do it before we stand in front of Him. And we don't know when we're going to stand in front of Him. Your 1 o'clock today might be standing in front of God. That might be your 1 o'clock appointment. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to just give you a dose of reality. Nothing to be scared of. If you don't have anything hidden. Did you hear that? Nothing to be scared of if you don't have anything hidden. To know that my 1 o'clock appointment today can be when God just blesses me abundantly and pours a crown over me and says that? Well, I don't have anything to be scared of that, do I? Unless I'm hiding something. What does God ask us to do? He asks us to confess our sins to Him. He asks us to open our heart and reveal what we're hiding in it. He asks us to run to our tent today, not wait till He says, it's you. He asks us to run to our tent today, our body, look inside of that hole in our tent in the dirt, which is our heart, and say, God, this is what I need to give to you. That's big, isn't it? And He says, if you do that, I love you, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you, and I'll help you, and I'll talk to you. What do we want? Why wouldn't we? How can we have this fellowship with God and stop hiding our sin? Confess our sin, ask Him to forgive us. I read you that passage of Scripture when we started, Proverbs 28:13. It says, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God is saying, I want to give you mercy. I want to forgive you. God is not looking at your sin. I don't care what it is that you have done. There is not a sin that God can forgive you of. You say, what about the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is showing up in front of God knowing you've refused the Holy Spirit every time He's knocked on your heart and said, hey, you need to be saved. Amen. That's knowing you've hid that heart and never opened it. All God's asking Him to do, asking us to do, is stop hiding our sin to confess it, to repent of it. He'll show us mercy. He'll forgive us. He wants to cover our sins. But He can't and He won't if we keep trying to cover it ourselves. I asked you before, remember, what is covering your sin? I want to be able to tell you that if you're in here today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, His blood is not covering your sins right now. He's willing to, but you're covering your own sins. You have to open your heart to the Lord. You have to realize that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to realize, as the Bible says, that all of us are sinners. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you have to confess. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, for with the heart man believeth With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to confess? You need to confess to Him, hey, I am a sinner, and I believe that the blood of Jesus can cover my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's being saved. And it happens after confession. But you will not confess if you think you're okay hiding it. In other words, no one ever gets saved that never admits that they're lost. And those people that never take their heart out of hiding will stand in front of God and receive just what Achan had. And I don't want anybody in here today to do that. I don't want anybody listening on the radio, anybody that listens to one of the CDs that will be made today. I don't want anybody to do that. Why? Because there's a way that God gives us. He acknowledges us that we all sin. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, He tells us, He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many people in here have sinned? Good. Past the first step. Listen. If we confess our sin, what's that key word again? If we what?
Confess.
Say it again.
Confess.
A little bit louder.
Confess.
A little bit louder.
Confess.
If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that not awesome? Do you deserve it? Absolutely not. Remember, you're the one that broke it. You're the one that hid it. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we've made Him a liar. And the Word's not in us. His Word's not in us. Confession's key. We can't be saved until we confess that we're sinners. And then Christian, you might have made that confession before. You might have realized you're lost and accepted the Lord as your Savior, but you're still living separated from God because there's sin in your life that you refuse to bear to God and confess it. You say, how do you know? I've been in that spot for a lot longer than I should have been. But now that I've seen the key and found the way out, I don't want anybody that I love to be in that spot. God makes a way out for us. It's called confession. You see, He already knows what we've done. You're not really hiding it from Him. You think you are, but you're not. You see, I want you to listen to what the Bible tells us will happen if we stop hiding our sin. And these are what I call just victory verses. We've already read 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So what's the first thing He'll do if you confess? He'll do what?
Forgive.
Say it again.
Forgive.
Isaiah 43:25, God said, I, even I, am He that blotteth out the transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. He forgives you. He blots them out. And then He says, I won't even remember them against you. Do you know that God has the power to forget your sins? Micah 7:18-19, Micah said, who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. Do you know that God wants to forgive you? It's not a point of if you should confess it. It's not the thing you did. It's the point of hiding it. He said, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Glory to God. He forgives us. He blots it out. He doesn't remember it. And then He throws it in the depths of the sea. Amen?
Amen?
Or we can just keep it hid in that little hole in our heart like Achan. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful unto the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He tells us and tells us and tells us again, doesn't He? You see, it's the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22 tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And verse 17 of Hebrews 10 says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It takes the blood of Jesus to cover your sins, but you can't use the blood until you confess your sins. We answer that question, what covers my sin? And we all say the blood of Jesus, but it takes a part on our part. Unconfessed sin cannot be covered by the blood. It can once it's confessed. In closing today, I want to give you an example of a man in the Bible that I know you've heard me. I look to him a lot because I can associate with him. He was a sinner. And he admitted he was a sinner. But I know he was close to God's own heart. His name's David. And David sinned one time and tried to cover it up. He saw Bathsheba He lusted on her. He had her come to him. He slept with her. She became pregnant and he had a problem. And you know what he chose to do? Cover it up. Listen. He chose to cover his own sin. He said, I'll put these pieces together. I'll get her husband to come. And he ended up sending his husband to fight on the front line so that he could be killed. He tried to manipulate it all by having the husband come home so he might think it's his child. And then that didn't work because the husband was too good of a man. And so finally he had the husband killed on the front line of battle in the name of war. And guess who saw it? The prophet Nathan stood in front of David and said, David, God knows what you've done. David became so distant from God and his heart was broken. He felt so lost. But then when he confessed his sin and got back in fellowship with God, he wrote this psalm in Psalms 32. I want you to listen to how David said it feels to be away from God and then with God. Psalms 32, he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. How many people here have tried to cover your own sin and felt miserable? How many people have poured out your heart to God, fell on your knees and said, God, I'm guilty. I've done it. Please forgive me. And have stood up with a sense of peace knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered you. That's what David experienced. I want you to listen as he goes on. He talks about how lonely, how desperate he was when he was not in fellowship with God. He says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept in silence, that means you didn't confess, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Man, he was at the bottom, wasn't he? But listen, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Did you see what David said? David said, I was miserable. See, David was a believer. But David was miserable when there was something hidden from God. David confessed it, and he said, it's great that I chose not to hide it, and I gave it to you. You forgave me. But then he said, and I think it's pretty awesome. You have to look at all the verses. Verse 6, he said, in a time when thou mayest be found. Guess when you can find God to confess to him? Today. Why? Because his same message is, sanctify thyself against tomorrow. Tomorrow you may stand in front of him. Unconfessed sin can only be taken care of right now. Question, do you have unconfessed sin in your life? If you do, then you're covering your own sin. Jesus can't cover it until you confess it. Have you confessed to God that you're a sinner and asked him to forgive you and accepted Jesus as your Savior and used his blood to cover your sins? If you're here today and you've never accepted him as your Savior, if you've never been saved, I tell you today, he's speaking to you, and all you have to do is break open that hole in your heart that you're covering today and ask him to come into it. Believe that he died for you and that his blood will cover all your sins. The Bible's told us so many times today that God's willing to forget them if you're willing to uncover them, right? And then Christian, do you have unconfessed sin in your life, something that God knows about you, but you haven't acknowledged it to him? Do you feel like there's something separating you from God? Look inside of your tent and see what you've got covered up. What is it? You know, it's easy to identify because when we start covering things up, we begin making excuses to all the people that are around us. You know, it's one thing to cover something up. It's another thing to just keep it covered, isn't it? God says, uncover it, give it to me. Don't wait until you stand before him like Achan, and he has to ask you. And this is the question that he'll ask you. What's covering your sins? Will you be able to say the blood of Jesus? There's two things that covers man's sins, as this picture shows us. The dirt that is in our heart that comes from the hole in our tent that we've hidden it in, or the blood of Jesus. What is covering your sin? Make sure that when you leave today, you can answer that question the way you did when I asked you at the beginning of this service. Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to see what you have to teach us. Lord, I pray that you open the heart and mind of each person here today. Let us see ourselves, Lord. You've singled us out. As you took the tribe and the family down this specific man, Lord, you've singled each one of us out today. Lord, let us look at ourselves as if we're standing in front of you. And I pray, God, that Satan does not convince anyone not to confess today. I pray your power over this service, a freedom for the Spirit to be able to convict and move in hearts today, Lord. And as the invitation time, I pray, Lord, that the altar, Lord, is the place of confession. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that is not saved, that's never accepted your Son as Savior, I pray, God, today that is the day of their salvation. They see their need to have their sin covered by Jesus instead of their self. Lord, I know I had to one day. I know so many in here had to. I know you said the angels in heaven will rejoice when someone realizes this and does this. Lord, I pray for Christians in here today, Lord. All of us need that closer walk with you. All of us have those places, Lord, that we hide things. I pray, God, that all is revealed to you today and that there's so many conversations between us and you. Lord, move in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.